Well, let's open up the word this morning in Matthew. Let's pray and ask the Holy Spirit to guide us. Dear Lord, thank you for this morning that we get to come and be the church. Thank you that we get to come and experience the church. Lord, and we know that that is only possible by your touch of your Holy Spirit. Lord, by that almighty touch of the God who created us in his image and the God who created us to have relationship with him. Lord, I pray that as we study your word today, that it wouldn't just be stories and words, foreign things to us, but it would be something that would touch your heart, that you would speak to us, Lord, in the way that only your Holy Spirit can, that we would become more aware of who you are, God, who loves us, who sacrificed for us, and has a future planned for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. As we look at Matthew, Jesus has been teaching in a house, and the idea is Capernaum was his home base, and it's a town right on the Sea of Galilee. And in fact, Jackie and I had a chance to go visit there, and they have a place that is supposedly was Peter's house, Peter and Andrew, his brother, and so we know that they live there in Capernaum. But we're assuming as Jesus speaks in a house that's probably the house that he was in. It was large enough that, you know, whether you move the furniture out of the way, whatever, large enough to have people in there and have conversation and teaching. And so as Jesus has seasons where he has the most adamant disciples that, you know, squishing through the door or watching through the window or waiting for somebody to have to go to the bathroom so they could sit down and take their seat. You know, they were in the house. But then Jesus, he also taught on the coast of the lake right there, as he not only moves from the disciples, those people that are most interested in him and the relationship that he has, as he needs to eat and step away sometimes and take just a change of rhythm. There's times that he goes out to the lake and ministers to a larger crowd. And that's kind of what we see as we begin Matthew chapter 13. Read with me and beginning with verse 1. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed, and he scattered the seed. Some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on a good soil, where it produced a crop 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let him hear. Jesus moves from this crowded house to a lake, and there's a place where there's a lot more room because we're outside, but there's such a great crowd gathered that not everybody can hear. And so he gets in a boat, and possibly it would have been Peter and Andrew's boat, their family boat parked there, and he moved out. And so that he could create a natural amphitheater. If you've ever been on a lake and yelled at somebody, you can hear for a really long distance. And they've experimented with that amphitheater effect and realized, man, there's people, there could be hundreds of people gathered, and somebody speaking on the water like that could actually hear what they were saying, because they didn't have, you know, modern amplification like we do. Even in this small building we have, you would have trouble hearing me without me using amplification. Maybe we should just build a lake up here or something, and I could sit in a boat. That would be cool. I would like to do that. Jesus is preaching to the crowds, and he has something to say. And it's as they listen to him, he uses this style of teaching called parables. You know, and kind of the way I like to look at it, I look like it's a word picture story. You know, it's when you picture something in the natural and it communicates a spiritual truth. Some people have described it as an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. That there's something more. They understand that Jesus is trying to communicate a spiritual reality to them. And as Matthew records in the chapter 13, he just bang, 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 goes through several different parables to as Jesus speaks to them. And as he talks about these different kind of soils that this farmer scattered his seed on. It's interesting, as Jesus ends, he says, "Whoever has ears, let him hear." So check yourself right now. Do you have ears? Most of us have two ears. Jesus says, "Whoever has ears, let him hear." I'm just looking around the room, and I'm not just going to guess online, too. You guys have ears, too. That Jesus is saying, "Whoever has ears, let him hear." Who's Jesus talking to? Every single one of us. Whoever has ears, let him hear. Do you hear what Jesus is saying? In verse 10, as we go on, the disciples came to him and asked, "Why do you speak to people in parables?" He replied, "Because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused, and they hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them." The disciples understand that Jesus is not giving a farming lesson. As I say, just giving you a clue here, if you want to have some crops, don't throw it on the path. It's like, oh boy, I didn't think of that. He's not giving a farming lesson. They understand that there's some spiritual wisdom. There's a spiritual message that Jesus is trying to communicate to his disciples, and for that matter, to the crowds. And they're wondering, "Jesus, why don't you just come out and say it? Why don't you just tell us what you're trying to get to? Why don't you just tell us what to do? Why doesn't he just come out and say what those spiritual truths are?" Because God wants us to live from a changed heart. He wants to live from a motivation that comes from a changed heart. Just like, you know, we talk about parenting kids, or when we give instructions, you want to give principles. It's like, we want to be a welcoming family here at the church. Here is, you want to be a welcoming on your neighborhood. You want to be a great parent. How do you do that? What do you do? You have to have a changed heart to understand a perspective. It's like you see somebody standing by themselves. You want to be welcoming? You go over and say hello to them. You introduce yourself. You tell them your story. You ask them their story. Maybe you've met them a month ago or a week ago. Maybe they told you something. You follow up with that. I mean, Jesus could say, "Hey, when you meet somebody, you need to reach out your hand and shake their hand." Jesus doesn't say that. He wants us to have an attitude that, and things that we do that come from a changed heart. That's what his whole message of the kingdom of heaven is about. It's not about perfection or performance, because he said, "What, your righteousness has to be better than the Pharisees." And it's not it. It's about a changed heart. And there's a mercy and a freedom. We talk about the freedom of the gospel. How many of you guys have blown it this week in some way? Does that make you not a Christian? No. Because it's Jesus' blood that covers us, that makes us righteous. It's our faith in him. Does he care more about what we do or about our heart? He cares about our heart. He's like, because there's something better than just to realize your kids say, "Hey, I blew it. I could have done, you know, this different." It doesn't matter that they blew it. It matters that they came back and recognized that. And that comes from a changed heart. Jesus wants people to hear with spiritual ears, not just like, okay, here's the three steps to being a godly person. There's probably more than three steps, by the way. It's only you can navigate being a godly person in all different circumstances by having a transformed heart. by having eyes that see, having ears that hear. What does he say? A heart that understands, that can see a situation and know what to do, sense that there's something wrong and do something about it. To be able to respond to people in this need, this particular way, and in this need, another way. You know, as those of you who have been parents realize that every kid is different. Have you noticed that? If you've had more than one child, they are different. And they may have similar humor or whatever, but they respond differently. And they are good parents and require us to pay attention. It's like, what works with this kid isn't going to work with this kid. We have to have a heart for their, not just behavior, but a heart for who God created them to be. Jesus isn't just teaching a list of things to do. He's teaching a heart that changes. When you reject Jesus, he goes on to say, right, we reject his words. It means that we have a hard heart. It means that there's something that's planted that can't get any root to it. It can't spring up to anything. It's fascinating is Jesus says, that scripture says that you have chosen to close your ears, chosen to close your eyes. That's just weird. That's a reality, is that it's hard stuff that we turn away from. If you heard, you would turn to God and he would heal you from your sin. The reality of how we know that we hear God is that we change or make a choice to change. We do something differently. If you and I don't hear God, we will stay the same. That's how we know we hear God, is because we make choices to live differently, to do something differently. It's those, that challenge of that. When our spiritual understanding that God gives us, we will choose to do things differently. And he says that not only will, as you respond to the seed that I give you and it grows, I'm going to plant some more stuff in you. I'm going to give you more understanding. You're going to see things that you couldn't see before until we respond. Why? Because it's not an eyesight situation. It's a spiritual eyesight situation. It's spiritual ears, that as we do what God has planted in our heart to do, all of a sudden it opens up. Things change. We see things and understand things that we didn't before. What does he also talk about in that parable? He says that when we don't do, when we don't respond, even what we've been given is taken away. Even the understanding, the glimpse that we have, if we don't respond, that's why I always encourage us to respond to what God's talking hard about. I said, immediately as you can, after church, share it with somebody what God's talking to your heart about. Because I know from experience, if I don't do that, I will talk myself out of it. If it's a major decision, I will talk myself out of it by the afternoon. It's like, God didn't really want me to do that. So that's too hard. I don't have time to do that. It will be stolen, those things. But as I walk those things out, it puts me in a place to hear the next thing that God wants to give me and ask me to do. It's important. When you use that spiritual understanding, your hearing will go, your eyesight will go, will grow. Let's move on to verse 16. And Jesus said, but blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. It's interesting, talking about those prophets and those faithful people old, they were looking forward to a Messiah coming. They were looking forward to a Savior of the world that was going to set things right. And maybe their image of it wasn't totally right in all of them, but you know, you read David, the Psalms at David, you get the idea. He does see the idea of it. When he talks about a transformed heart, and how walking in our sin makes our soul die, that he doesn't see. He sees a spiritual kingdom. He sees spiritual victory. As look at that, disciples, they seek out Jesus. Disciples of Jesus seek understanding from Jesus. It's interesting is we say, well, they didn't get it because they had to come ask it. Well, they did get it. They got that there was more there. They got that there was something besides farming that Jesus was trying to communicate. And they went and sought him out. Disciples don't have all the answers. Disciples know they don't have all the answers. Disciples seek out understanding. Say, God, would you show me how to do this? Would you show me how to walk through this? I'm hitting the wall, Lord. God, if you don't give me some kind of understanding, I'm just going to quit. God, I need you. Would you show me your word? Would you open this up to me so that I know what to do? They don't just walk away. The crowds, when they heard that stuff, they're like, oh, that was kind of cool. Wonder what that was about. They went home that day. It was the disciples, the followers, the people that acknowledged Jesus was the Messiah, acknowledged that Jesus has something of the kingdom of heaven, something that God's blessing was on him as he healed people, as he cared about people, as responded to the Pharisees with boldness and not being manipulated. They're saying, Jesus has got it going on. They sought him out and say, hey, Jesus, tell us. We know there's more here. Would you help us understand what it is? Disciples of Jesus seek out that understanding from him. It's interesting is there's a privilege. What Jesus says, you guys are privileged. You get to see and hear what people before you long to see. Do you know what that means? Is that you and I are what? Privileged. Privileged. We are on this side of the cross. We live in a time when we know what God's word was. He says, I'm going to send a Messiah and he's going to die and not rot in the grave. He's going to be resurrected. We've experienced that lifetime. Not only did that happen, but Jesus went back to heaven and he sent his what? His Holy Spirit to live in us. The Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of truth to live in us so that we can hear and understand. We can go and ask Jesus living in us. Jesus, would you? We could sit down. Some of us need to have some sit down quiet time with Jesus. We don't have to go in a building somewhere. We don't have to go seek him out. He is living. When you confess Jesus as your Savior, he plants his Holy Spirit in you. I know for years I was, and I still struggle with go, go, go. But some of my biggest revelation time, honestly, is in the shower when nobody's talking to me. Or I'm on my walk by myself. That God speaks to me. I'm listening. I'm just talking to him. And then ideas come to me. I'm like, that's what I'm supposed to do. It's that Jesus seeking him out for understanding. Do your eyes see? And do your ears hear? And Jesus goes on, verse 18, listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the world, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke out the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 100, 60, 30 times what was sown. Jesus says, this is the word of God going out. That's the seed that's going out. And he refers to four different kinds of soil, right? Soils of the heart. Soils of the heart. What is the first kind of soil? What's the first kind of heart condition? Is a hard heart. A hard heart. This is an unbelieving heart. An unbelieving heart that won't allow the kingdom of heaven to even take root. It won't allow anything to happen. And when I talked about not responding to the gospel, to the seed of the kingdom of God, responding to what Jesus is saying to your heart, it gets stolen away. It gets taken away when we have an unbelieving heart. Said, Jesus, I hear what you're saying to me, but I'm not going to do it. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. A hard heart. While the seed is sitting there, Satan steals the word with doubt and distractions of this world. He says, unless you believe that God is who he says he is, that he's righteous, that he's powerful, that he's merciful, that he's a forgiving God, that he's a good God, just like those songs we sung, that helps us address those things that we see. There's a conflict with our soul. We sing that song, God is a good, good God. How many can say that we live in a good, good world? We live in a troubled world. We have a good, good God with not so good, good people. But we serve a good, good God. And when we have that attitude and realization, it changes how we treat people. It changes how we think about ourselves. The kingdom of heaven seed has been scattered on our hearts. Does it have a chance to grow? Unless you and I believe what God says, that's why we're reading through the Bible, by the way, is because God is saying something to us. He wants us to hear. He wants us to understand, because that's where change happens. When we believe what he's saying, we get to address the doubt in our head, address the doubt of our value of who God created us to be. The challenge is, unless you and I believe, even the seed that God has given us is going to be taken away. And think about it. I think about just years of God trying to plant seed in my heart that I didn't respond. No fruit came from it. It was years later that God would plant those seeds again, and my heart had grown, so it was ready to hear what God was saying. Don't let unbelief steal God's seed that he's getting scattered and planting on your heart. What's the next kind of heart? We have the hard heart, and now we have the shallow heart. The shallow heart. This is the heart that hasn't done the hard work of self-reflection, of confessing and repenting of sin, realizing that, man, there's some stuff that's messed up in my life. There's stuff that's not right. There's stuff that doesn't add up. There's stuff that I keep doing that I know it's not right. Why is that? A shallow heart loves the promises of the Word of God, but it isn't willing to do the hard work of persevering. So then troubles and struggles come and say, yeah, that's too much. A shallow heart needs to understand that, man, there's some stuff that God, there's some rocks in there. There's some stuff that need to come out so that God's word can penetrate, can see. And sometimes we don't even know we have a shallow heart until we make a commitment and we say, love Jesus, man, I'm going to love you with all my heart. I'm going to go do this. And then a month later, we're not doing it. Those are times to say, man, what in the world got in the way of that? What in the world got in the way of that? I always laugh about, you know, new relationships, right? You know, it's like you see a high school love, you know, whatever. It's like, oh, I'm so in love. And the word infatuation comes to my mind. It's like, you know, what do you like about them? Oh, she's so cute. She's so kind. She's so helpful. What don't you like about her? Nothing. He is amazing. He is wonderful. Oh, that's infatuation, right? Those hard things to say, man, it isn't fun. There's hard stuff that we have to walk through to get to those good things. I just think about the pandemic. I think about what's broken my heart about the church, as I feel like the pandemic has revealed shallow hearts. Because things are hard. I mean, even today, coming to church and having to wear these things again. You know, and I have personally no problem wearing them. I hate wearing them. I'm going to say that, if that makes sense. I don't have a problem doing what I think is right and helpful. And I know that none of us are perfectly understand the world. But it's a pain. It is a super big pain to not be able to see somebody's face, to get sweaty pimples on your face and wearing that thing, to get hot in this nice cool weather that we're experiencing this summer. It is a pain. But to have a heart that's ready to say, you know what, it's okay. I'm not going to allow sickness, wearing a mask, to get in the way of my relationship with God. I'm not going to allow that to get in the way of my relationship with you. I'm not going to allow that to get in the relationship with the checker at the store. I am going to be bold in my faith. I'm going to walk out and not allow this stuff. I don't want to have a shallow faith. I want to have a bold faith. I think of a shallow faith can't see its own hypocrisy, but yet accuses other people of theirs. I think a shallow heart doesn't believe it has any sin issues that prevent it from growing. A shallow heart sees difficulty something as something to go around and ignore and avoid instead of opportunities to grow and discover the hugeness of who God is and to trust Him in the middle of those things. Faith in God will always require us to persevere through struggles and through opposition. And I ask myself and ask you, what difficult choices or choices God's word calling you to persevere through? The third kind of heart is the thorny heart. This is a heart that is divided. This is a heart that is conflicted because there's competing priorities, right? This is important and this is important. What do? Do you try to do both? What happens? They both get poorly done, or they neither of them get done. Weeds and plants, if you look and you allow them to grow, they compete for the exact same nutrients and space. In fact, we see if weeds not dealt with take over. Just like the Bible talks about, the principle says, don't be fooled. Bad company corrupts good character. It's so fascinating. Why is it when we hang around out with people who have bad character or bad habits, we copy them instead of the other way around? I remember years ago hearing somebody say, just even for me, food is an issue. Okay, I'm not super skinny, and there's a reason for that. I like food. But I remember years ago reading that the anomaly that happens when people who are healthy eaters, if they marry or hang out with somebody who's not a healthy eater, they adapt that person's eating habits, not the other way around. That we, and so I just think, Jackie, I'm so sorry that you've adopted my bad eating habits. It's those things that's a challenge, because not only am I affecting myself by my choices, I'm affecting other people by my choices. To be watchful, what is it that's competing for the attention of my heart? Weeds that are unchecked create a divided heart. There's always something pulling us away from God's voice and calling. It's a heart that knows it's been called, but doesn't understand why it's been powerless to change. You know, as I could say, no, some of us experience like, you know, I'm struggling with this. I can't get a victory over it. It's because there's other things that are competing for that same ground, that same place that God wants the attention of, wants the priority of. Kingdom crops won't survive a divided life, divided heart. A heart driven by concerns of this world will choke out kingdom growth. What's competing for attention in your heart, for nutrients, for space in your heart? We are limited beings. And the older you get, the more you realize that. I need more sleep than I used to. I used to think I used to be as a youth pastor, do all night events without missing a beat. Now, bedtime's 11 at, you know, the latest or whatever. And if we're really crazy, we'll stay up to midnight, you know, and it's a struggle to New Year's to stay up. So I'm revealing my age. Yes, I'm old. But those things change. It happens. where we need rest. We have limited time. We have limited emotion. Where are you going to spend it? Part of being recognizing the kingdom of heaven and allowing God to grow things in you means that you're going to have to put some things aside. And part of that, what Jesus is saying, hey, listen, listen, I'm talking to you. There's some things that won't grow if you don't step away from them, if you continue to give them attention. The last heart is the receptive heart. This is the only soil that Jesus calls good. This is the only soil that he calls good. This is the heart that not only hears the message of the kingdom, but understands that Jesus has the words of life. Say, I may not understand it, Jesus, but I know that if I'm going to, you're the guy to go talk to about it. You're the one who's going to be clarity about things that I may not even be aware are competing for his attention. That God, would you show me where my heart is thorny? Will you show me where things are dividing my attention, things that I should be paying attention to so that I can have a fruitful heart? This is a heart that's active in what I call weed control, right? If you've ever had a garden, you have to go out there and pull weeds. You can't just let it go and do it once at the beginning of the season. You have to go back out there and pay attention, fertilize it, make sure that the things are getting watered. You have to pay attention to those things so that you know that the ground is ready. There aren't other weeds that are taking over the garden so that those things that God has planted can grow. This heart hears the word of God, understands and allows it to take full root in it. A receptive heart is a teachable heart. It's a learning heart. It's a growing heart. It's a confessing heart. It's a forgiving heart. A receptive heart bears fruit, and it's a fruit that reflects God's character. You know, right? The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. The fruit produced on the outside is evidence of the seed that's planted on the inside. It's interesting, as we look at each of these soils, do you know that every single one of those soils are capable of producing fruit? The hard soil, the shallow soil, the thorny soil, those are all capable of producing. The problem is there's stuff getting in the way of what God has planted. I just think about, how am I getting in the way? You know, I just think about, it's like, if you're a believer in Jesus, you must have a receptive heart. You must have amazing soil. And I think in some sense that's true, that it really, we talk about the root, a change, accepting what God has said and believing him is a receptive heart. But I think as believers, is this message just for the unbelievers and believers, or is it a message to the church today? Because I think that God is not one-dimensional in the seeds he's planting. There isn't one kind of seed. I just think that God may be planting seed in your heart that you will not listen to. He's trying to, and it's hitting hard ground. And the moment that it's planted there, because your heart's so hard, it gets stolen away. There's other ones, you think of a shallow heart, where you're like excited about it. And then you realize, oh my gosh, I got to change some things here. Oh, I can't do that. I must have heard God wrong. And you move on. Other things, you see something growing, but then over time, the weeds are taller than the fruit that God has, so that you can't even see it anymore. Years ago, I still am baffled by this, and it's a process. You know, God's gracious. We sing that. I was at lots of different things that God's talked to my heart out that I said no to. And one time in particular, I was a young family at a church down in Pleasanton, California, and I had a pastor say to me, he said, Scott, you have a pastor's heart. Full-time at a construction company. And I'd never heard that before. But when that seed hit my heart, it began to grow. It grew enough that I had a Bible school that I took some Bible classes going, I wonder what this is about. Something interesting happened. There was another seed that God planted. I remember it was either him or his wife said, Scott, says, you should quit your job and come work in ministry full time. That was like the deer in the headlights. I knew how much I was making a week, and I was guessing how much quitting my job was going to make me. I mean, last time I looked, when you quit your job, you don't make any money. And I just, that hit, honestly, you know, and God's, as I think about it, it's at one point it hit hard ground, but at one point it really was a seed that began to take root. As honestly, I just put it in my mind, I remember laughing. Maybe not out loud, but for sure to myself, I'm thinking, that's ridiculous. Like I'm going to quit my job and be a pastor. How ridiculous. But it was weird. I was always challenged with that. You know, as years went on, I was like, oh my goodness, that was a prophetic word that happened. And I just think about those things and other situations in my life where God's trying to plant. I'm thinking, what if I had responded, because I did feel the call back then. I just couldn't see how in the world that it could ever happen. What seed is God trying to plant in your heart today, in this season, you're unwilling to consider? A seed that keeps getting choked out, that doesn't have room to grow, that God's calling you to. Any seed of the kingdom of God that has any kind of fruit isn't our doing. Did you know that? Whose doing is it? It's God's doing. It's the Holy Spirit. It says, you know, we plant the seed, the gospel. We are sowers of the word. And Jesus working through us. But it's God that brings the fruit. It's God that raises the crop. What kind of heart do you have? What is happening to the seed that God has planted in your heart? Has it produced fruit, or is it choked out, been choked out and died? I was thinking about, those word pictures. I remember my dad loved rhubarb and he loved tomatoes. And I remember one year by the, there's a cap for the clean out at your house. And my dad would have to keep that off because apparently our pipes weren't very clean. And when it got too much flow in the washer, he'd open that up. And apparently it was also connected to the kitchen because guess what grew up all around that clean out? Were tomato plants. They were never planted. And it was just that seed that came. But I think about it, just even in a garden, that some of us fake ourselves out because we see volunteers from seasons past. It's what God did back here, but it's not what he's doing today. And volunteers don't do as well as stuff that's being taken care of. What new seed is God wanting to plant? Let's pray. Lord, this is a message for all of us. Every one of us has ears. Every one of us. Lord, help us to have eyes to see and ears to hear, that we would understand what you're talking to our heart about. Lord, forgive me, Lord, just as I did this message and studied, I was like, this isn't just for the church, it's for me. Where have I been hard-hearted? Where have I been shallow? Where have things gotten choked out? Would you look at my heart and say, oh boy, that's good soil? Or would you say something else? Lord, I just know that I'm so confident that, Lord, when I respond to you, there's good fruit that results. Lord, help us to hear what you're saying to our heart. Help us to see what you're saying, Lord. Help us to understand just that one step of faith, maybe that may seem small, but is huge. Lord, I think of the mustard seed. Even the smallest thing ends up being the biggest thing. As you talk about faith. Lord, I just thank you for your word that challenges us, that grows us, that encourages us. Lord, I know the fruit that I have in my life is because of you. There's places that I have listened, that I have understood, that I have obeyed. Lord, but also recognize that I'm not done yet growing. Lord, I pray that for our church. I pray that for everybody here in the building and those that would watch online. Lord, that they would have hearts that are receptive to your seed. In Jesus' name, amen.